Actually, I will try with your experience, sharing you the experience with my Lebanese colleagues to answer this question. COPD, where do we stand? And during the presentation, I'm going to cover the burden of COPD in our region according to data from the BRIS study, path of surgery of the disease in order to understand the proper treatment, besides diagnosis, assessment, and treatment. And in these three issues, I'll give you the data from the latest gold this year, besides what we are doing actually in the area, according to results from BRIS study. And finally, the role of combination ICS-LABA in management of COPD. Going to the burden, the prevalence of COPD, as you know, it ranges between 5 to 13% in different areas of the world. It's responsible for killing of 3 million patients yearly. And it will be by 2030 the fourth leading cause of death worldwide, but will be the third leading cause of death in middle-income countries like you and my country. Also, the prevalence of the disease in the near future will increase in our area. Why? Because there is increase in the prevalence of smoking, water pipe smoking, atmospheric pollution, and still, in some areas, they are still using the biomass fuel to cook indoors. And despite of all of that, data was either unavailable or scarce. That's why there was a need for an epidemiological study. So the BRIS study came, which is abbreviation of Observational Cross-Sectional Epidemiology Study in COPD in MEA, the Middle East and Africa. This study conducted between 2010-2011, 11 countries, Lebanon and Egypt was there. It was my pleasure to be one of two contributors from Egypt. Finally, there was about 62,000 patients with response rate of 70%. And if anybody is interested in more details about this study, it is there in Respiratory Medicine Supplement 2, Volume 106, 2012, and I think my colleagues from GSK here can provide you with the hard copy of Respiratory Medicine. Coming directly to the prevalence, the data said that the prevalence of COPD in the 11 countries, 3.6, about 13 million COPD patients. In Lebanon, it's much higher, it's 5.3%, and Lebanon came after Syria, highly prevalent rate of COPD. But please remember, this is not only patients of COPD, this is only the tip of the iceberg, because there is still some patients who are heavy smokers with some criteria of COPD, but they did not fulfill all the criteria to diagnose COPD according to that study. And also remember that the rate of smoking is very high in Lebanon here. In this study, it is 53%. What about the pathophysiology of COPD? It is there in the definition. It is chronic inflammatory response, both of the airways and the lung. According to the airways, with this cartoon from Peter Barnes, when the airways exposed to cigarette smoking or any other irritant, first stimulation activation of alveolar macrophages, epithelial cells, and through another chemotactic factor, there will be recruitment and activation of the main orchestrating cells, neutrophils, CD8 lymphocytes, monocytes and fibroblasts. Consequently, the secretion of group proteolases, neutrophilic elastase, casepsin, matrix metalloproteins. This will increase the mucus secretion with viscid mucus. This is the chronic bronchitis, alveolar wall destruction, emphysema, and fibrosis by fibroblast, that's obstructive bronchiolitis. In the lung, alveolar wall destruction, loss of elasticity, will lead to emphysema, and here also destruction of pulmonary capillary bed, one of the causes of pulmonary hypertension and core pulmonary. Again, this is due to increase in inflammatory cells. And the latest goals mentioned that the disease is through dual pathway, affecting the airways, affecting the air, small airways, airway inflammation, fibrosis, luminal blocks, and increased airway resistance in the parenchyma and the lung, loss of alveolar attachment, and decrease of elastic recoil, both will lead to the air flow limitation, which is the physiological stigma of the disease. Not only that, not only chronic inflammation in the airways and the lung. Through the inflammatory mediators, which will go to the systemic circulation, affecting many organs, leading to chronic inflammation there, causing the comorbidities, the most common cardiovascular disease, musculoskeletal, osteoporosis, diabetes, and gastrointestinal. Diagnosis and assessment. The symptoms of COPD, cough, sputum, shortness of breath, we suspect the disease when the patient has these symptoms and exposed to risk factors, tobacco, occupation, indoor and outdoor pollution. But the gold recommended that spirometry required to establish diagnosis. It is mandatory. No diagnosis of COPD without spirometry. Data from the breast study show that the total population, less than one third evaluated by spirometry, COPD patients in our area, less than one third diagnosed, and consequently less than one third received the appropriate treatment. Spirometry, once in the population, the total group of breast is 31, but in Lebanon, actually my colleagues here are doing a very good job because very high number of COPD patients go for spirometry, 42%. Assessment, as you know, it's according to symptoms, degree of airflow limitation using spirometry, assessment risk of exacerbation and comorbidities. This is the combined assessment. I will not go in details. You all know by heart according to assessment, according to symptoms, whether less symptoms, more symptoms, and then the risk, low risk, high risk, both by the gold and the frequency of exacerbation. In the gold this year, the update gold, the only change, before it said less than 2 exacerbation, it is low risk, 2 or more, it is high risk. But the change is that even 1 exacerbation leading to hospitalization is high risk. This leads actually a punctured physician with spirometry to go for accurate diagnosis and then assessment. But the problem is that in our area, how frequent do patients consult at least once a year? 61%. In Lebanon, it's here, I think the same, 65%, not more. Once a year, COPD patient, consulted physician. What kind of a specialty? I'll give you the data from Lebanon, and this is the between the 11 countries, most of COPD patients visit or consult pulmonologists. More than 60%, according to this study, consult pulmonologists, and the rest is divided between GP, family physician, and internist. Look at the alarming figures and the results from the breast study. About 55% of the patients in the study were in gold class D, the very severe, high risk, and the very severe. About 30% are kept out of work by their respiratory problems. And another 50% still in employment report an impact on their work, impact of the disease in their work. Most important, about 50% of the patients in this study report comorbidities. Most of them, one third, are cardiovascular morbidities. I had just arrived in Beirut an hour before, and between my arrival here, in this 1 hour, breast study told us that 1,000 consultation, 190 emergency room visits, and 175 hospitalization in the 11 Middle East Africa countries due to COPD. Going to the treatment, you know there is non-pharmacologic treatment. This is not my subject this afternoon. And there is pharmacologic subjects. The first recommended, the alternative, and the other treatments. I'll give you only the recommended first choice. As you know, in the category A, it's only PRN, short, rapidly acting bronchodilator, either SAMA or SABA. In group B, long-acting, LABA or LAMA, but in the group C and D, the severe and very severe, the first recommended is combination ICS-LABA or LAMA, but in D, it is ICS-LABA and or LAMA. What actually the patients received in our area, I'll not go to the total, I'll go for Lebanon. Here in Lebanon, about 65% bronchodilators and about 35% ICS combination in more than 15%. How far our patients, COPD patients in this area, are compliant with the treatment recommended by the GOLD? In the C group, the severe, only 3.5 are compliant with the GOLD recommendation, and in group D, the very severe, 6.4%. And please remember that change from category A to category D, there will be 6-time increase both in ER visits and hospitalization. Lastly, what about the combination ICS-LABA in management of this disease? The effects and the adverse effects. Again, the GOLD said that inhaled corticosteroid combined with long-acting beta agonist is more effective than the individual components. Well, in improving lung function, health status, and reducing exacerbation. In which category, which class? Moderate to the very severe. There may be the risk. This therapy may have the risk of increased risk of pneumonia, and finally, addition of long-acting beta agonist inhaled steroid combination to long-acting anticholinergic appear to provide additional benefits. This study, the biopsy study, data published 2006, give you the explanation of the effect of this combination. This is a placebo-controlled 3-month biopsy study, group of COPD patients, fiber optic bronchoscopy, bronchial biopsy, and research for the frequency or the number of the CD8 lymphocytes, and then two arms, placebo and salmeterol fluticasone combination, looking at the effect after 12 weeks. There is significant decrease in the number of CD8 lymphocytes, which is one of the main cells in the pathology of the disease. And this study have a broad range of showed a broad range of anti-inflammatory effect that may help explain the clinical effects we get with this therapy. And then the TORCH study data came 2007. ICS LABA versus LABA monotherapy. The results, significant improvement in lung function, reduction in the rate of exacerbation, improvements in quality of life. This is the improvement in lung function combination, not only versus placebo, but versus monotherapy. Coming to very important issue, reduction of exacerbation, combination versus placebo, 43% reduction in exacerbation requiring systemic steroids. Combination versus LABA monotherapy, 29% reduction, and both are highly significant. Also significant improvement in quality of life. This is the outcome. What about the 3-year safety data with this combination? Regarding cardiac adverse effects, hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis suppression, cataract, bone fracture, there was no significant difference between the combination percentage and the placebo group. Regarding pneumonia, there is a highly significant percentage difference on the group on salmeterol fluticasone compared with the placebo group. Further analysis of these cases and pneumonia as adverse effect or a serious adverse or serious adverse effect, and the most important is fatal pneumonia. Different numbers. The frequency, of course, was higher in the fluticasone and salmeterol fluticasone compared with placebo, but the percentage in the four arms less than 1%. Although pneumonia reported increase in the fluticasone and combination arms, this did not translate into an increase in the number of deaths. In the four arms, even the placebo, it's less than 1%. That's why an epidemiology study has shown that while COPD severity is associated with the risk of pneumonia, no evidence exists of strong association between ICS exposure and increased risk of pneumonia. Of course, you know this study was by GSK. And according to this conflict and the balance between the benefits of decreasing exacerbation, improvement in lung function, quality of life, and the risk, increased cases of pneumonia, another very two important meta-analysis study. This is the Cochrane database of systemic review published 2 years before, combined ICS long-acting beta agonists in one inhaler versus long-acting beta agonist for COPD.
This review,
meta-analysis, randomized double-blind controlled trials comparing compound ICS LABA with their component LABA in people with COPD. This analysis passed through 14 studies, met the conclusion criteria, severe COPD of about 12,000 patients. Two studies included fluticasone salmeterol as a combination, and in the other four studies, the combination was budesonide plus formoterol. This is the data. The primary results, exacerbation rate decreased by 24% per person per year in the combination compared with LABA. The annual risk of pneumonia in 12 studies, 11,000 participants, the risk, annual risk of pneumonia in the ICS LABA was 4%, while in the LABA the risk was 3%. The most important, there is no significant difference for either exacerbation or pneumonia from trials using different doses or according to a type of inhaled steroid. The secondary results, the combination was more effective than LABA alone in improving both health-related quality of life, dyspnea, symptoms, decrease the need of rescue medication, and improving FEV1. And according to the author, his conclusion was that, their conclusion was that, we have always to balance the risk and benefit to your individual patient, the risk of reduction of exacerbation versus the hazards with increased risk of pneumonia. Another very important meta-analysis by Chen and his colleagues that's published 2011, this was an observational study of inhaled steroids on the outcome for COPD patients with pneumonia. What was the reason of this study? Still, there is a doubt whether treatment with ICS is associated with increased risk of pneumonia in patients with COPD. And the other doubt is that it was not clear whether ICS use increased the risk of mortality if this COPD patient complicated by pneumonia. The hypothesis of this study, if prior ICS use wouldn't be associated with worse clinical outcome from patients with severe COPD hospitalized for pneumonia. The population at this meta-analysis by Chen's colleagues, about 16,000 COPD patients, all admitted to hospital with pneumonia between 2002 and 2007. Slightly more than half were already on inhaled steroids, less than half were not on ICS. And the outcome is all-cause mortality analyzed at 30 and 90-day interval. The 30-day mortality in the ICS user was 10.2% versus 15.6% not treated with ICS. The 20 days mortality, 17% in ICS user versus 23% not treated by ICS. And the final results, those not treated with ICS had 25 greater mortality than those who were treated with ICS. The details of this study and hard copy from that or the Cochrane can be supplied from my colleagues here from GSK. Chen and his colleagues, after this meta-analysis, concluded that for patients with COPD, prior use of ICS is independently associated with decreased risk of short-term mortality and use of mechanical ventilation after hospitalization for pneumonia. So, the conclusion from the Cochrane and Chen meta-analysis, COPD patients are more prone to pneumonia regardless of the treatment. In large Cochrane review, there is 1% difference in the incidence of pneumonia between ICS and not ICS treated patients. According to Chen's meta-analysis, prior use of ICS in COPD is associated with decreased risk of mortality after hospitalization for pneumonia. So, I think finally, after giving these studies, and there is another study, maybe said something else, we have to answer a very important question. Which COPD patient will benefit from ICS? Broadly, two groups of COPD patients appear likely to benefit most from ICS treatment. The first group is the patients with mixed asthma COPD, what's called the asthma COPD overlap syndrome, ECOS. And this ECOS mentioned in the latest GOLD this year, and they said that in the latest GINA, which will come after a few weeks, there will be a separate chapter on the asthma COPD overlap syndrome. Why in this phenotype or in this group of COPD patients we have to give ICS? We have to give that because there is a need to avoid using LABA monotherapy in patients who might have asthma. You know, of course, about the black box. And this may be, this is not new. More than 50 years below, according to the Dutch hypothesis, it was not mentioned COPD, it was mentioned obstructive airway disease or obstructive lung disease, OLD, that there is three types, or later we heard the term phenotypes, the chronic bronchitic, the emphysema, and asthma, and here is some overlap. Patients may have two types or the three types. It's according to everyone practice how frequent this overlap, but these patients are here. And these are patients with asthma. Maybe asthma would more severe during childhood and adolescence, and they are still smoking and they are heavy smokers. Also, smokers who have COPD, but with that, they have airway hyperreactivity. Asthmatic patients who do not smoke and with uncontrolled asthma, these patients with long-standing asthma, especially older males, maybe will pass to the asthma COPD overlap syndrome. This is the first category. And the second category of COPD patients to use ICS are patients' frequent exacerbation despite optimal bronchodilator therapy. That's why exacerbation is very important, of course, in the course of COPD patients. And here is the prevalence of acute exacerbation from the BRIS study. This is the last slide from BRIS study. 48% total. In Lebanon, it is about 45%. What is the importance of the exacerbation and consequently the importance of adding ICS so that reduces the frequency? It's not only that exacerbation increase the categorization of the patients from low risk to high risk patients, from mild, moderate to the severe and very severe. But also increased risk of myocardial infarction and stroke associated with a statistical significant 2.3 fold increase after COPD exacerbation. Why? Because during COPD exacerbation, there is an increase in inflammatory mediators, both fibrinogen and serine active protein. You know that fibrinogen is directly thrombogenic, while serine active protein will upregulate other inflammatory cytokines, promote the uptake of low density live protein by macrophages, and increase adhesion of leukocytes to arterial endothelium. Finally, this is the last slide from the update GOLD, and for that they put evidence A, long-term treatment with inhaled corticosteroids is recommended for patients with severe, very severe COPD and patients with frequent exacerbation that are not adequately controlled by long-acting bronchodilators. My last slide is the take-home message. COPD is a syndrome. Different types, different phenotypes. And according to Mirabilis, forget about ABCD, about mentioned in the assessment, he put that there is many phenotypes. This is the ECOS, the asthma COPD overlap syndrome. And here's two types of COPD. We know that long time before, the emphysema phenotype, which called before the big buffer, and the chronic bronchitis phenotype, known as the blue bloater. They are completely different. Also, we have the infrequent exacerbators in both phenotypes and the phenotype of frequent exacerbator. You know the effects of ICS in the frequency of exacerbation in the asthma COPD overlap syndrome, so with proper diagnosis, assessment, and categorization of each patient into each phenotype. Of course, you know when to give ICS and when not to give ICS. Thank you so much for your kind attention.